Through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven, we pray. Amen. Scripture reading this morning will be given by Gary.
The scripture this morning is Mark chapter 1, verse 29 through 39. This verse comes after Jesus has been baptized, been out in the wilderness, and he was preaching in the synagogues. So starting with chapter 1, verse 29. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was sick with a fever, and immediately, turn the page, Gary, they told him of her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she served them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all that were sick and possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered together about the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And in the morning, a great while before day, he rose and went out to the lonely place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him pursued him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that we may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out all demons. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Among the many memories that I have of my father, one of some of the more special ones involved when I would take him to see Old Timers Day at Yankee Stadium. He loved to see one of his favorite ball players, Yogi Berra, come on the field with some of the other former Yankee greats and have some fun playing a few innings of ball. My dad told me a story once that involved Yogi Berra and Hank Aaron, who at that time was one of the chief power hitters for the Milwaukee Braves. And it seemed that the teams were playing in a World Series, and as usual, Yogi had one of his ways of keeping up some of his ceaseless chattering within the bullpen. And it was intended not only to pep up his teammates, but also, on one hand, the other hand was to distract some of the other players. So at one time, Aaron came up to the plate, and Yogi tried to distract him by saying, "Henry, you're holding the bat wrong." So Aaron didn't say anything, but when the next pitch came in, he hit it far left into the left field bleachers. And as he rounded the bases, tagged at home, Aaron looked at Yogi Berra and said, "I didn't come here to read." You know, distractions, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. Today, both the Eagles and the Patriots will try a variety of different offensive and defensive plans and plays that are intended to distract the other team, and especially to distract them as to where the ball is going, perhaps paying more attention to the teammates than where the ball is hopefully heading. I don't care what stage of life you're in, I'm sure that you would agree that we all live in a very busy world that supplies us with endless distractions from our faith. But when we become distracted from our faith, we risk becoming separated from God. Last week we spoke of one of Jesus' first incidents of casting out demons, and amazing the crowd at the authority that he had when he did this. You know, for me, I almost had to put on a seatbelt when I read through Mark. The Gospel of Mark is the shortest and yet one of the most fast-moving Gospels that we have. We're only in the very first chapter of Mark, and already we're seeing how Jesus is performing miracles and dealing with crowds and who are clamoring for more of his time, more of his miracles, in dealing with disciples who also don't understand his ministry. And as we hear from the passage that Gary read this morning, already he finds himself being distracted by the crowds and finding it necessary to go to a quiet place to focus on where his attention belongs, mainly proclaiming the message of the kingdom of God, the messages of sin and repentance, faith and salvation, love and forgiveness, mercy and hope. But we find ourselves almost needing to replay the story in slow motion to appreciate its significance. We also talked last week about Simon and Andrew leaving their nets to follow Jesus, and along with James and John, and by the time that we get to today's reading, just a few verses later, it appears as though they've either yet to leave Capernaum or they have returned home after a short absence. But in other words, they're still at home, and the story takes place in the home of Simon and Andrew. And you can take so many things away from this story, but I was intrigued by Jesus' need to regroup and understand the impact that the distractions were having on him and what he was actually there to do. Mark presents us with a Jesus who chooses to remain remote and yet seeks to stay on the move. He prays in isolated places and eludes the crowds, but then goes back to other places because he understands his purpose and he understands the limits that he can place upon those areas that might distract him for the real reason that he's here. If Jesus understood the implications, the story may help us to understand and realize the distractions that prevent us from maintaining a close and personal relationship with God. Let me ask you, here we are only 1 month into the new year. Possibly some of you may have made New Year's resolutions, lose weight, eat healthy foods, exercise daily. Resolutions are easy to start. The challenge is sustaining them. I read a recent study that says 1 month after resolutions are made, nearly 80% of the resolutions are broken. So if you made resolutions, quite possibly you fall into those statistics. But the main reason that people get distracted from their rituals and from they soon find that the commitments and their attentions have faded away because of the distractions that they have, and their routine is almost already forgotten. So what are some of the distractions that 21st century Christians must be aware of? For one thing, busyness. Again, I go back to no matter what stage in life you find yourself, the fact is you're going to experience distractions, many of which are because of busyness. I know I've spoken to many of you over time who are in different phases, possibly of retirement, and it's not uncommon to hear many of you say that you're busier now than what you were when you were working. But if you're always on the go, you sometimes can't hear God talking to you. You're facing the barriers of busyness. If you keep going and going and going, but you aren't spiritually growing, you're spending your time focusing on things that may at times not be as important. Your busy lives on things can easily cause distractions and negatively impact your walk with Christ and your personal relationship with God. Excuse me. Jesus once said that distractions are like weeds that grow in your mind and heart, just like the weeds that grow in a garden. You see, when we become so busy with busyness, the most important things in our life start getting crowded out, and it becomes increasingly difficult to seek the kingdom of God when our minds and our bodies are too busy to devote the time that are needed. We lose our sense of priorities. We all have responsibilities, but we need to be careful not to let them distract from our faith. To avoid the distractions that these responsibilities can cause, we need to do a better job sometimes of managing our time. We have to make sure that we get done what we need to get done, but also to devote the time that God needs from us. And some of the spiritual distractions that people have are a result of poor time management. How often have you set your own spiritual resolutions to spend each morning or evening in prayer or devotion? Maybe reading the entire Bible in a year might be a goal that you might have. Maybe your goal is to become more aware of your sin and repent more frequently. Maybe you want to spend more time devoting quiet time so that you can more effectively listen to when God speaks to you. None of this, however, can be accomplished if there are distractions that cause you to not commit the time to developing a close and personal relationship with God. But distractions can also impede the mission and purpose of the church if we're not careful. We need to constantly be reminded that some of the main purposes of the church are to glorify God, to minister the spiritual needs of the congregation, and to spread the good news. And sometimes when we get focused on our problems, when we focus too much on our finances, or we focus too much about declining attendance, we can easily get distracted from our purpose and our mission, and we need to spend more time and resources on the things that ultimately keep us together and not separate us from God. Realize that in churches of every size, it's also easy for its pastors to become distracted. Pastors also need to understand and receive the support of the congregation that they cannot solve all the problems or make everyone happy at all times. The main role of the pastors are to lead his or her congregations to become more like Christ, and the church to act more like the body of Christ. But often we're challenged to wear so many different hats that we risk getting distracted also from our purpose. And yes, even blessings, faith, and answers to prayer are often missed because of distractions. Let's face it, we all want to start off strong in our faith mission, but a myriad of distractions try to get in our way in our lives, almost as if they put a wedge between us and God. And once the first distractions start to take root, it causes you to take your eyes off the Lord. Especially, instead of placing your eyes on the situations that seem so more important than some of the distractions that are happening around us. The more you look at the distractions, the more they're going to grow, and the more they're going to seem bigger than God. Don't be fooled. Distractions are going to cause you to miss out on the things that God has planned for you. And distractions are also going to cause you to start asking yourself, where was God when, well, God was there, but you became so distracted before it became manifested? Are you focused on the kingdom of God and God's plan, or do you get sidetracked and become angry just like the rest of the world does? While it's inevitable that we will become distracted in life, it's most important that we remember to stay focused on God and his ways, and whenever possible, steering clear of the areas and ways that lead us to distractions. It's not always easy, but we can do it with God's help. Let's not get ourselves distracted from the big picture of what a small number of Christians in a small town anywhere can do when freed from distractions. You can live and share your faith in unity. You know, the devil's smart. He's not going to attack your strengths. He's going to attack your weaknesses. He understands that a body in motion tends to stay in motion, so it's hard to stop, but it's easier to divert. So the devil will do whatever he can to divert your attention away from God. Every Christian comes out of the starting gate committed to serving God. I don't know any Christians who ever had any intentions of falling away from God, but it happens over and over again, and it's just like the New Year's resolution. Regrettably, many give up and fail. And of course, there's many reasons for this, but one of the reasons this happens is because Christians become so preoccupied with the world that they forget about serving God. I'm going to leave you the following questions to ponder on. How often do you think of God during the day? And finally, do you spend more time running around doing errors than you spend that same amount of time in serving God? Friends, Jesus warns all of us who take up the cross that the way is going to oftentimes be difficult and narrow. It requires a great deal of vision and discipline to be a faithful Christian. But let's make that special effort this week to keep focus on the things above. Yes, even Jesus realized that he was getting distracted, but he made immediate changes to get back on path by finding time to pray and reprioritizing what he was doing. And you and I can do the same. Hallelujah. Amen.